From KUOW in Seattle, this is Sound Cues, a podcast fueled by listener curiosity. I'm your host, Deborah Wong. Happy New Year, everyone. And for those of you counting, this is episode 13 of our podcast. Yes, we are halfway through our season. This past year, we've had a lot of fun answering listeners' questions about Seattle and the Puget Sound region. We've covered everything from how holiday lights are put up on construction cranes to how seaplanes land safely on Lake Union. And we have lots more cool stories lined up for the second half of our season. Lately, we've been getting a lot of questions about the Alaskan Way Viaduct. And for those of you who don't know, the viaduct is this elevated section of state highway. It runs right along the waterfront in downtown Seattle. It's more than 65 years old, and it's really not in good shape. So this year, the viaduct is going to be replaced with a massive underground tunnel. The viaduct closes next week, and eventually they're going to demolish the whole thing. Which leads us to the question that several of our listeners have asked. Where will all the debris from the viaduct, all that concrete and steel and pipes, where will it all go? So joining me now to help answer that question is reporter Joshua McNichols. Hey, Joshua.
Hey, Deb.
So Joshua is on the Region of Boom team here at KUOW. He covers growth and development in Seattle and around the region. And he's co-host of a podcast called Primed, which is about Amazon. And because you've been reporting on development, you know a lot about dirt. You are the dirt guy.
Yes, I am deep in the dirt. But the viaduct is not the only source of this dirt, of all the debris that's going to be moving through the city.
Yeah, I can imagine, because we've had so much construction around the city for the last few years.
Yeah. And after the viaduct comes down, they're going to rebuild parts of the waterfront. They're going to rebuild the ferry dock. And Amazon's building a skyscraper, you know, and then there's this huge project to rule them all. And that's the convention center expansion. You know, I mean, that construction site's going to look like a crater on the moon while they're excavating that.
Wow. So all of those projects mean there's a lot of digging going on in Seattle right now.
Yeah. And all the dirt and debris, it has to go somewhere.
Yeah. So we're going to take a break. But when we come back, we'll look at where all that construction dirt and debris is going, so stay with us.
Hey, Sound Cues listeners, I'm Jeannie Yandel.
And I'm Eula Scott Bino. We're the hosts of Battle Tactics for Your Sexist Workplace. Hey.
Hi.
It's a podcast from KUOW that armors you up for dealing with sexism at work.
We all exist in sexist workplaces because we live in a sexist world.
Our podcast knows two things are true. Mm-hmm. Yes, your workplace is sexist.
Facts.
Even if it's not visible, and even if you work for yourself.
And yes, there are things you can do to push back.
Battle Tactics.
We take on the gender pay gap.
Disrupt interruption
and stop imposter syndrome in its tracks.
Battle Tactics for Your Sexist Workplace.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
So, Joshua, what does happen to all that dirt from construction sites here in Seattle?
Well, I did this story a couple years ago, and I went to Seattle's South Lake Union neighborhood where Amazon has its headquarters. And I wanted to follow the trail of dirt from one of the new buildings. So I met up with this guy named Gary Orvitz. His job is to think about dirt.
Whenever we're doing a project and you're dealing with an architect, they're concerned with the glory of how high above ground the building will be. The first question I ask is, how deep in the ground is it going?
When you take out dirt, you make a hole. As a geotechnical engineer with Hart Krauser, Horvitz's job is to make sure holes like that don't collapse in on themselves. He's not working on this project, but he does this kind of work on other big buildings all the time. We met up at the Amazon site at a section they just started digging.
What kind of a hole are we going to see here?
For a building of this size, they'll probably be going down around 40 or 50 feet, and the amount of soil that would be generated might be on the order of a quarter of a million cubic yards.
How do you help someone understand how big that is, how voluminous that is?
Well, the way typically one would do it is a typical dump truck that you see going down the road holds 10 cubic yards. So if you're dealing with 250,000 cubic yards, that's 25,000 dump trucks full of soil.
In the old days, people used to just put the dirt wherever it was convenient. Like when the city of Seattle decided a hill just north of downtown was in the way, they got out some big hoses and just washed it into Puget Sound. That's why the neighborhood isn't called Denny Hill anymore. It's called the Denny Regrade. Today, you can't just dump dirt in the ocean. You need a place with a permit to take your dirt.
So where's all that dirt go?
Well, it goes a number of places. There are gravel pits or mines scattered throughout Puget Sound. And you, as you can imagine, these mines wind up being very large holes in the ground. And at some point when those mines are played out, they need to be filled back in as part of environmental reclamation.
One of those mines is in Monroe. I headed out to the Fiorito mine in the Cascade foothills. The top of one of those hills was taken away. The rock was used in construction.
Mining companies often get a bad rap because people think, oh, you're cutting all down all the trees and you're wrecking the environment and basically ruining the earth. What people don't see is that you drive on the road and you have to have the rock products from somewhere. So if you don't mine, then you don't have roads to drive on.
That's Zach Fiorito, who's in charge of the mine now. He says after all the good rock was gone, they started filling up the hole left behind with dirt. Lots of dirt. That hole is now a hill, and that hill is growing.
That hill used to be about 60 feet below where we're standing. That's how much fill is there.
Wait, so is that all dirt, like from Seattle?
Dirt, concrete, asphalt from King County and Snohomish County.
Fiorito offers me a ride to the top of the hill in his truck. It's not an ordinary truck. It feels like something out of Star Wars. The wheels are tall as a grown man. Fiorito handles it like a race car over the quarry's bumpy roads.
Is there anything this vehicle cannot ride over?
It'll get stuck in the mud if the mud's, soft. Yeah.
As we're driving, dump truck drivers from all over the region radio in. They announce their arrival at the quarry.
America Pride, D16, coming on the outbound scale.
Yeah, Nelson, he's going to follow you up, and don't forget to pick up your drop axle, please.
This mine takes dirt from about 300 trucks a day. At $100 to $150 bucks per truck, that's good money. But it wasn't always so good.
During the recession, it was super slow here, so we hardly got any material. Whereas now, we're getting a lot.
All right, 44 inbound from Mercer Island.
How long did it take to build this mountain up?
We started filling it probably in 1999. My best guess is there's probably 5 million tons of fill here, and there's approximately 3 million left that can go in.
We approach the top of the hill. It's a broad, flat, muddy plain about the size of a couple football fields. Around us, mountains and river valleys. It's beautiful up here. Three or four at a time, the dump trucks drop their burdens on the ground. A bulldozer comes and smooshes them out, forming another thin layer of this growing hill. All over the region, many picturesque places like this have been shaped and are still being shaped by our region's big projects. Seattle's waterfront tunnel, for example, is sending its dirt across Puget Sound by barge. It comes to rest in an old quarry on a stunning little finger of land near Port Ludlow on the Olympic Peninsula. Eventually, that land will become something completely different. It could become a housing development or a park. That sort of future offers Zach Fiorito something to feel good about.
I get to put it all back. I get to finish the slopes. I get to plant trees. I get to say, oh, okay, I'm making it nice again. You know, okay, yeah, yes, it's been a mess for however long the mine's been here, you know.
Decades, probably.
Decades, yeah. There's a certain amount of gratification from being able to make it, you know, you make it all nice again. It's like you're building a park.
So that's where the dirt goes from Seattle's big construction projects. It's part of a cycle. We dig holes in the county because we need materials so we can build things in the city. And then we use the dirt from the city to fill those holes back up again.
Wow, I would not have realized that buildings in Seattle is such a complex logistical exercise. Just around dirt.
Yeah. The dirt to dig the holes, and then there's, you know, all the trucks to bring materials in too. It generates a lot of traffic.
It does. Okay, so let's go back to our listener question, which is about, not about dirt, but it's about the viaduct. We're about to take down this giant concrete structure at our waterfront. It's going to be taken apart and put somewhere. So Joshua, where is the viaduct? Where are those pieces going to go?
It's going to go in the Battery Street Tunnel. And I love the way they're going to take this thing apart, thinking about it like it's kind of like when you give a kid a cupcake at a birthday party, and sometimes the kid like licks off the frosting off the top first. So that's how they're going to start taking it apart. They're going to like chisel out the roadbed. That's the frosting. Mm-hmm. And then cart that away. And then they're going to start crunching up with these big claw-like crunchers on long arms the structure beneath it. That's the cake, right? Mm-hmm. They'll break it apart with these claw-like grabbers, and then they'll cart it down with trucks to one location where they'll pull out the rebar for recycling, and then they'll break it down further, and then they'll drive it up again to the Battery Street Tunnel. So it's being trucked around twice.
Let's remind people, what is the Battery Street Tunnel? Where is it? And why is it taking viaduct debris?
Well, the Battery Street Tunnel is at the north end of the viaduct. And once the viaduct comes down, it's vestigial. It's defunct. It's no longer needed. And so they're going to fill it up with rubble. You know, there are people who wanted to turn it into a park or mushroom farm or something, but, you know, it's too expensive to seismically retrofit. So they're just going to fill it up.
So once that tunnel is filled with viaduct debris, are they going to seal it up and will just never be seen again?
It'll be one of the forgotten things that is under the city that historians will talk about in 50 years and be like, did you know there used to be a tunnel there?
Right. Someone's going to excavate it and find all this weird debris and go, what the heck was here?
Right, right. Kind of like the cow tunnels under New York that you hear about sometimes.
Excuse me?
Oh, there were supposedly these old tunnels that they used to move livestock through to get to the meat markets or whatever. And you hear historians talk about these, right? So this is our like cow tunnel. This is our quirky historic fact that people will talk about many years from now.
Nobody would believe it.
No. Who would believe it?
Joshua McNichols, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
This story was inspired by questions from several SoundQues listeners. If you have a question about Seattle or our region, head over to our website, kuow.org/soundcues, and drop us a note. Your question might be featured in a future episode. SoundQues is a production of KUOW in Seattle. Matt Martin is our producer. Jim Gates is our editor. Our production team includes Anna Boyko-Wyrock, David Hyde, Gil Agutter, Jill Jackson, and Brendan Sweeney. Joshua McNichols reported this story. Michael Parker composed our theme music. I'm your host, Deborah Wong. Thanks for listening.